You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Counting down the days till what many would call the opening weekend of college football, unless, of course, you're a BYU fan. And in that case, the season got underway this past Saturday as the Cougars topped Portland State. Joining us right now over the phone to talk a bit about that game and what is in store for BYU now that we know where Saturday's game will actually be taking place, we have Tyson Whiting. He covers BYU football for ESPN 960, also handles the post and pregame shows for the Utah Grizzlies. Tyson, a pleasure to get you on the show today. Thank you for the time.
Jordan, it's great to be on.
Let's dive right into it. We'll talk about the, first perceptions, at least in your mind, of how BYU looked against Portland State. Obviously, there were some things that could worry the casual BYU fan, yet at the same time, it's opening week, they take on Portland State. I want your takeaways from this past Saturday.
It didn't seem like any fans were happy with the way it went, and it didn't seem like any players or coaches were really happy with it, and I didn't necessarily think it was one of BYU's better efforts. I mean, you put up 13 first downs against an FCS opponent, and an FCS opponent at that went 3-8. And so there was a lot of negatives to go about it. But, you know, I think if you want to look at the glass half full, there were a couple positives that came out of the game, one of which, you know, Squally Canada did average 6.1 yards per carry, and Kavika Fanua, a running back that, was just kind of in the mix but hadn't really emerged, he ended up with 59 yards on 7 carries. So the running game did a pretty decent job, and Matt Bushman, a tight end that really has gotten so much attention here in Utah County about his production and him possibly being the next Dennis Pitta at tight end. He made 3 catches for 56 yards and really kind of showed some flashes of being that great tight end. And plus, you know, if nothing else, BYU did not turn the football over. I mean, that could have been an even closer game had BYU coughed up the football, but the fact that they played a turnover-free game, I think, is something that's going to bode well for them in the next 3 weeks, because they're going to need to play turnover-free games against the likes of LSU, Utah, and Wisconsin, which are BYU's next 3 opponents.
You mentioned playing turnover-free football, and I think working hand-in-hand with that was the fact that Tanner Mangum was under some pressure throughout the game as well.
I think that was something that BYU fans are a bit disappointed in, is that you got an offensive line that's got a lot of experience. They returned 4 starters, and you got 3 seniors, you know, 2 guards and a center that are all seniors. And so it was a little bit disappointing to see a little bit of pressure thrown on Tanner Mangum, but I think it was probably good practice, for, if nothing else, for, you know, playing the next 3 opponents, for all 3 of them, LSU, Utah, and Wisconsin, are known for having outstanding defensive lines. And so that does worry BYU fans a little bit, and so I wonder if you're going to see a little bit more of Tanner Mangum rolling out of the pocket and throwing on the run a little bit, just to try to find a way to get some time to throw the football.
Yeah, I believe that Tanner can move very well inside the pocket. What's your opinion on him stepping outside of the pocket? Is that something that can be effective for BYU, especially, as you mentioned, what the opponents coming up, where you play 3 Power 5 conference teams in the next 3 weeks? Is that something you want, is Tanner moving outside of the pocket?
He doesn't throw the ball quite like Taysom Hill does outside the pocket. Taysom Hill's one of those guys, he probably throws better on the run than he does inside the pocket. Tanner does show, I mean, that Hail Mary against Nebraska, he was rolling out to his right a little bit 2 years ago. He does a decent job when he's rolling out to his right, not necessarily as much when he's rolling out to his left, but that's going to be something that I'm certainly going to be watching for in the LSU game. I mean, he does a decent job of it. I mean, he's going to admit that he's no Taysom Hill running the football. And so when he does scramble, it is going to be more, you know, trying to buy time for an open receiver than it will be to try to pick up a first down on his legs. And so that's something I'm going to be watching out for, is to kind of see how BYU finds a way to get him time to throw the football. And I think that you're going to see him rolling out a lot more just to try to buy some time to throw the football, because you know that if the offensive line struggles against Portland State, I mean, what's it going to look like against LSU and Utah? So I think Ty Detmer is going to have to get creative in finding ways to get Tanner Mangum some time.
Again, we're being joined right now by Tyson Whiting, covers BYU football for ESPN 960 in Utah County. Let's talk about the LSU contest this weekend. First off, I don't know that this is a huge, I'm going to say, distraction for the players. I mean, the idea of moving this game seems like it's more for sports talk, more for the fans to kind of gather around and have something to talk about early on in the week. I mean, have you noticed, is this in fact a distraction for the players not knowing where they were going to play up until yesterday?
it doesn't seem to matter much. I talked to linebacker Adam Pulsifer, and it's just kind of one of those things, or whether they play in Houston, New Orleans, Orlando, Louisville, you can play in China for all they care about, just as long as they know that on Saturday they're going to show up ready to play. They don't really care where they're going to play. It's just a matter of, as long as they're playing LSU on Saturday, they can play this thing on the moon for all they care. They really just more concerned about executing on the field. I mean, whether they play, in Houston and New Orleans doesn't really matter to the players that much. It's just more for the fans that want to travel to those games and kind of the logistics in that regard. But as far as the players are concerned, they don't really seem to concern much with it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had figured. In LSU, you have a team that is definitely close to cracking the top 10, maybe a top 10 team in the country. I guess you could call this good news for BYU, the fact that Darius Geis is finally just returning to practice and really unsure of just how much of a workload he is going to get from Ed Orgeron and LSU as we move into Saturday's game. Tyson, I don't know about you, but as far as Geis goes, I put him as one of my top three running backs in the country. I think he's that good.
I think so. I mean, you talked about a guy in 183 carries last year. Averaged 7.6 yards per carry. I mean, he was outstanding. 15 touchdowns. He averaged almost 120 yards a game. I mean, as good as Leonard Fournette is, it kind of felt like last year LSU was more dangerous when Geis had the football just because it seemed like he had that little extra burst that even a guy like Leonard Fournette didn't really have. And so you talk about the temperatures. I mean, it's going to be indoors in the Superdome, so it's going to be a fast track, and that's the one thing that concerns BYU most about LSU. It isn't necessarily the passing game, but it's Darius Geis. And you talk about the game plan, maybe the top three things BYU is worried about is Darius Geis 1, Darius Geis 2, and then Darius Geis 3. He is, I think, you mentioned him being one of the three best running backs in the country. I'm not so sure he's not the best running back in the country when he's 100%.
No, it's a fair argument. I mean, it really is. And for those who don't know about Darius Geis, it's quite simple. You don't know about him because there was a guy by the name of Leonard Fournette there for the last 3 years. That's why you don't know who he is.
Yeah, and Leonard Fournette kind of combined the power and the speed. Geis isn't necessarily as big physically as Fournette, but he probably has that little extra gear that even a guy like Leonard Fournette didn't necessarily have.
So as far as the offensive line for BYU, and I'm going to correlate this to the defense for LSU, I know a lot of people, you mentioned it, a lot of people were upset about the performance in Saturday's contest. Multiple times during the live broadcast, they showed viewing parties of LSU sitting back and watching BYU's offensive line, which, again, I believed was going to be a strength moving into this contest. What do they have to do differently against an obviously bigger and much more talented defensive front in LSU? What's the key there for BYU in this game on Saturday up front in the trenches?
Well, I think the thing is they're not necessarily huge in terms of physically. They don't necessarily have the 325, 330-pound guys. I mean, Tijon Chrome is 6 feet, 285 pounds. Yeah, Norman, they're one of their guards, isn't necessarily a massive guy. And so they're going to have to win with quickness, kind of like in the 1990s when you saw the Broncos and the 49ers who had kind of relatively small offensive lines for the NFL, but really were able to continue to move the football and have success with quickness. And so BYU is going to have to do a better job of just out-quicking LSU, which is going to be tough to do because LSU does have a lot of guys who kind of combine that size and strength. But it reminds me of what Bill Walsh used to always say, when he would always say that you got to beat the man to the punch. And so that was one of the things that Portland State did a good job of, is they're quick off the line and really beat BYU to the punch. And so I think that's something BYU is going to have to improve on. I mean, they're not going to gain 10 pounds a man in the next 4 days. So it's just going to have to be with quickness because size-wise, Mike Empey, the offensive line coach, does want to get them bigger, but they're not necessarily quite the size that he would like them to be. And so they're going to have to win with quickness.
Definitely going to be a fun game. Again, it's going down this Saturday. One of the fun storylines, I guess we can talk about, that hasn't necessarily got as much pub as I thought it would. KJ Malone. I mean, that's a fun storyline for this game, right?
Absolutely. The son of Karl Malone. Interestingly enough, KJ was a Utah fan growing up. He got a lot of people talking about how he kind of was in the crowd of guys that weren't necessarily BYU fans. So he grew up a Utah fan, and it's an interesting storyline that, surprisingly, the local media hasn't really harped on too much.
Yeah, again, it's one of those fun topics that you can get into. All in all, Tyson, when this game actually takes place on Saturday, how do you see it playing out? I don't necessarily need a prediction, but how do you see this one playing out?
Well, I got a feeling that BYU is going to have a tough time moving the football, so I expect kind of a low-scoring game. Well, the way Klein Satake has built his team, he wants to make a bully on the offensive and defensive line. So really, he's trying to kind of create a little bit of what Kyle Whittingham has built at the University of Utah. And so you're going to see a great defensive effort. They're certainly going to play a lot harder and with a lot more enthusiasm than they did against Portland State. I expect it to be close for three quarters. I think the difference in the game might be Darius Geis. And if Darius Geis, you know, 5 or 6 yards per carry in the first three quarters, but I could see him having a huge fourth quarter. And we did see one of the things we did notice about BYU's defensive line is even though it was a hot day last Saturday, they did wear out in the fourth quarter. So I expect it to be a close game for three quarters. Then LSU making a couple big plays offensively in the fourth quarter to pull out a 10-14 point win.
Tyson, it was fun to talk some BYU football with you. Before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Absolutely. I'm doing some stuff with the ESPN 960 here in Utah County. I'm also going to be doing the pre-intermission and post-game shows for the Utah Grizzlies as well as doing some play-by-play in the Grizzlies' two preseason games. So I'll be doing a lot of stuff with the ECHL Hockey Club this season. And I also do a podcast called the Tyson Show Podcast. And make sure to follow me on Twitter, at Tyson on Sports, to get the link to that. I'll be making a new podcast here this evening, so be on the lookout for that.
Tyson, a lot of fun to talk with you. Thank you again. Hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jordan.
Again, that's Tyson Whiting joining us on the show. We've got a break for a quick moment. When we come back, we'll put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. back after this.